Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. And hear now God's word. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Thus far in the reading of God's word, please be seated. An 80-year-old man, nearing the end of his life. At one point in his life, he was part of a movement. He and his friends were going to change the world, and yet he's the last one alive. His friends have all died off. He's the last one living, and the government under whom he lives has relegated him to a penal colony. He's forgotten. He's abandoned on a rock in the middle of an ocean. And while he is this old man dying, while he is at the end of his life in this forgotten penal colony, off in the middle of nowhere, John writes that in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he receives the vision that has come down to us as the revelation. The revelation opens with John writing letters to the seven churches. These churches that are in various states of spiritual health or declension. These churches that have been very dear to him. He writes these letters to the seven churches, and then he moves into what is really the heart of the revelation, which is chapters 4 and 5. The first part of Revelation really builds up to chapters 4 and 5, and from chapter 6 on, it's really just an explanation of what's going on in chapters 4 and 5. Chapters 4 and 5 is the heart of the revelation. Chapter 4 opens with John looked up, and behold, he saw a door into heaven, and he saw a throne, and he saw one seated on the throne. And it builds into this glorious praise of God. The last verse of chapter 4 is this song of praise as the elders cast their crowns before the throne and say, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." The glory of God and the praise of God as Creator God, as the great ruling God over all the universe. It's chapter 4. And then we move into chapter 5, where John sees the vision of the Lamb. The Lamb slain. The Lamb that is there with the scroll. The Lamb who has the authority to take up the scroll. And this song of God's glory that is sung in chapter 4 that sees its climax in verse 11 of chapter 4, takes on an even more triumphant note in chapter 5. It swells into this glorious anthem that is called the New Song. It is a new song that is directed to the Lamb. And briefly this evening, I want to look at this new song. We see it in verse 9 and following. They sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a king and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And I'd like to look at this passage, this glorious passage in Revelation chapter 5, in two ways. First, let's look at the singers, and secondly, at the song itself. Now, the choir begins with those who have been redeemed. Those who represent the redeemed, the 24 elders and the four living creatures, those who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. In verse 8, we see that they take up, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. It's interesting and it's disturbing how often we miss this. The very essence of our praise of God, what we ought to be able to distill it down to, is given right here in verse 8. The harps represent joy. Joyful instruments. And the bowls of incense are prayers. Joyous worship and prayerful worship. That is the response of redemption. That is the response that drives this glorious new song. And brothers and sisters, you who have tasted that redemption, you upon whom Christ Jesus has set his love, are caught up not just into worship, but into joyful worship. You are caught up into the harps. You are caught up into the bowls representing the prayers. And your worship is a worship of joy. For he has redeemed you. He has purchased you with his blood. Now this choir is not limited to the redeemed. It is not simply the redeemed who sing the songs of praise. But we see this choir expand. It's as if the song starts with this group of the redeemed, but then it expands. In verses 11 and following, I looked around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And they add their chorus to this great song. Their chorus is, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And suddenly you've got the redeemed of all ages singing together with the angels, myriads and myriads and thousands. The angels gathered in this great song, and that's not enough. That's not good enough. Because the choir expands. In verse 13, "I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." This crescendo of praise builds until all of creation. First the redeemed, then those who are the angels who have been created by God to serve him for all eternity, and then all of creation is taken up in this glorious, joyful song of praise to the Lamb. This is the Lord's Day. That's what John saw. He saw worship. He saw what you and I are invited into. He saw our reality. The veil was pulled aside for a moment so that to this old guy who the world looked at as defeated and irrelevant and exiled and out of the way, this old man was given a taste of reality. And in that taste of reality, he saw and heard that grand celebration that puts our greatest celebrations into pale, pathetic irrelevance. The most joyful events of our lives, the most joyful events of our society. I was trying to think, what would be the great joyous event? And I can't think of one that defines American society other than VE Day. And the pictures that I've seen. I wasn't around for that. Victory in Europe Day. I wasn't around for that, but I've seen the pictures and the dancing in the streets and all of that. And how long did that last? A couple of days, maybe? And yet it's probably, as I look back and look for an illustration or an example of great joyous moments, it's probably the greatest one in the last 60, 70 years. How pale and pathetic in comparison to this celebration that we see here. This celebration of the redeemed. This celebration in which the redeemed are joined by the angels. This celebration in which the redeemed and the angels are joined by all of creation. You can just feel the foundations of the earth rock. You can just hear the thunder of praise that goes on continually, joyful, worshipful praise. So what's the content of the song? It's clearly significant. I mean, there's clearly some serious praise that's going on here. There's clearly something powerful that is happening here in these verses. What is it? What is the content of the song? We see in both the song of the redeemed and the song of the angels. Verse 9, the song of the redeemed. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. And then down in verse 10, where the angels take up the song, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. From Adam all the way down through history, there was a song that was being sung. It was a song of expectation. It was a song of hope. It was a song of trust. We see it in the Psalms themselves. The expectation, the hope, the trust, the joy, the security in God's care for His children. But after the crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, when Jesus Christ came down and did mighty war with the serpent, when He defeated death, when He was raised up into heaven, still bearing the scars of that great battle, the pierced hands and side and feet, when He was seated at the right hand of the Father, a song began then. A song began that continues through eternity, that is being sung right now. You were slain. You ransomed. Beloved, it is accomplished. The work is done. Jesus Christ has defeated death. He has overcome. And He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and He is ruling and defending us and restraining and conquering all His and our enemies. And you and I are caught up into that song. The promise of hope that David sings of in Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, was fulfilled as Jesus ascended and moved into his throne room. David writes, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And as he marched forth and the angels were gathered around him and were singing Psalm 24 verses 7 through 10, and the Lord in his triumphal procession moved into the throne room and sat at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, this new psalm was taken. And you and I were invited into it. You and I sing these words that began 2,000 years ago and continue today. And that's what the gospel is about. Bottom line, the gospel is an invitation to you to join in this song, to join in the worship of the redeemed, the joy of the redeemed. Here's the catch, though. You got to learn the tune on this earth. It is now that your lips take up this song. It is now that that gospel offer is extended to you. Come buy without money. Come all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Take up the song. This glorious song of all creation is a song of the accomplishment of redemption. Repent, believe, and sing. The redeemed and the angels both say in verse 9 and 10, "Worthy are you," verse 9, "and worthy is the Lamb," verse 10. Why? Why is he worthy? What is it about Jesus Christ that makes him worthy of this over-the-top praise? I mean, after all, he's just a good teacher, right? He's a great moral example. He's one of the ways to God. That is not what you are seeing in these verses. You are not seeing someone who is a fine moral example for us. You are not seeing someone who is one of the ways that men and women of sincere heart can be reconciled to God. You are seeing all of creation, all the angels, all the redeemed saying, "Worthy are you. Worthy are you to receive honor and glory." Why is he worthy? In both the redeemed and in the angels, the focus is on his cross work. "You were slain," in verse 9. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," in verse 10. It is upon that central element of the cross that reality turns, that reality is hinged. For men, women, boys, and girls, the fact of the matter is, sons and daughters of Adam and Eve are born dead in trespasses and sin. And we can deny it. We can chase after all kinds of fulfillment. But if you have done that for any degree, any extent in your life at all, you will be the first to testify that even in the grasping of this thing that you were convinced would bring you happiness, even as you grasp it, it turns into sand and slithers through your fingers. Even as you place this great treat, this great morsel that you were so willing to betray yourself for, betray your beloved for, betray everything for, this thing that was joy, as you place it in your mouth, you realize it's dust. And you're choking in sin, in misery. You're looking around and you're saying, I'm dead. I'm miserable. You can medicate it. You can palliate it. Watch 4 or 5 hours of television a night, go to sleep, wake up the next morning, and get on your depressing gerbil wheel once more. You can be Sisyphus and push the rock up the hill until it rolls back down on you. Push it up the hill some more until it rolls back down on you. You can keep at it and keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. But it doesn't matter where your rock is, where your hill is, what that dust is that you put in your mouth. It doesn't matter what it is. The condition is universal. Despair. Disaffection. Discouragement. Disappointment. The promise of the gospel is this. Jesus Christ offers to you freely life. For he has borne the wrath of God upon the cross. That lamb slain. That lamb, let's be more specific. That lamb slaughtered. That lamb sacrificed, bloody, that lamb slain is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That lamb slain is this one who is reigning, this one whom John sees, and this one who offers to you to come and find your rest in him. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I did not come to save the righteous, but to call sinners unto repentance. For many years, I considered myself righteous enough. I considered myself plenty righteous. Because there was always somebody that was one step farther down the road than me. I could always point to somebody worse off than me, and that was my standard of righteousness. And yet the fact of the matter was that constantly I was in despair. And I was looking for anything that would bring me joy, that would bring me fulfillment. Another theologian, a few years after this was written, phrased it much more eloquently when he said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. That's the reality that you live in. You cannot deny it. It is reality. Someone who is apart from Jesus Christ, who have not tasted and seen that the Lord is good, who has not taken up this harp of joy, this song of praise, this glorious salvation. Your heart is restless. Find your rest in Him. That's the calling of an evangelist. That's what the evangel, the good news, is. It's this proclamation. It's not fire and brimstone preaching. It's not beating people over the head. Surely not offering Jesus as a moral example, as a great teacher, as one of many solutions. It's offering to people this Christ who is the Savior. And this offer. Repent and believe and save. That's the joyous proclamation of the gospel. See your deadness in the middle of all of your distractions, in the middle of all your striving for success and honor, see your deadness. See your lostness. See your Christ. See that Lamb slain. Throw yourself in His arms, for they're open. And they're ready and willing to embrace and live. Join in this everlasting song. Gives us a whole new perspective on John. 80-year-old man who had come to the end of his race. 80-year-old man who had kept the faith. 80-year-old man for whom there was remaining a crown. The victor's crown, that crown of righteousness. An 80-year-old man who for one moment, almost thinking of the words, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. For one moment there, the veil opened and John saw face to face what you and I are caught up in. And the revelation is not the writings of an 80-year-old depressed man who's in exile. The revelation is a song of joy. It's a song of joy that is centered here. It's a song of joy that you and I are invited to be caught up into, to be swept up into. It's a song of joy that Stephen has the privilege and the duty and the responsibility of preaching, of singing, of inviting new people to join that choir. What a cool job. What a great calling. Brothers and sisters, that offer is yours tonight as well. That offer is yours tonight. Don't walk out those doors this evening thinking, oh, that was a nice Friday evening distraction. Are you singing this song? Are you singing the song? All creation sings it. All the angelic hosts sing it. But at its foundation, it's the song of the redeemed. If you want to make it your song, come to Christ. Come to that Lamb slain and find in Him your life and your joy. Let us pray. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You that because of that song of the redeemed, all the days of our lives are simply the warm-up notes for that perfect harmony that we will sing through all the ages. Tune our lips better to sing Your praise. Tune our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.